It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to cover the Agent Optional Playbook.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I am here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to learn all about the Agent Optional Playbook. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before we open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to check the episode description where we have it packed with thousands of dollars in valuable content. All right, Neil, we're back with our second episode in our Agent Optional Wealth Accelerator series, and today we're covering the Agent Optional Playbook. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's exciting to be here. This whole series was spurred from feedback from you, our listeners. It turns out a whole bunch of them are in the world that I came from, being a residential real estate agent. And so through feedback and conversations, that's what spurred this whole Agent Optional series. So I'm excited. This could be a fun one today.
Yep. We're excited to cover it. We want to cut through the noise, cut through the real estate jargon, help agents learn and know with very practical steps, how do they actually go about investing in real estate? So we're going to give you a very practical playbook through these series of podcasts, and especially with our outline today of the Agent Optional Playbook, how you can invest in real estate so you can build and protect your wealth and gain financial peace of mind through investing in commercial real estate. So, Neil, before we get to the playbook, let's go back a couple of years and talk about your history, your story as an agent. Just break it down for those who aren't familiar with your story. What was your career as an agent? And we'll talk about how that brings us to where we're at today.
Oh, yeah. So I started my career in 2004. My mom was an agent, and ultimately, through her success in the first handful of years she was in business, convinced me, but didn't take much, to leave what I was doing, which was working in the bank, to get into the industry. And it fit like a glove. Have you ever been to a place where you're like, all right, this is home? That's what it felt like. And so first year, work like crazy. Rookie of the year, 3 years in, I own a REMAX. 3 years later, became the number one REMAX agent in the state of Iowa. And so just a tremendous trajectory. And through that time frame of selling and building and growing and building a team and doing all sorts of things, it meant a tremendous amount of work. I had a small team. I was working every day of the week. I'd take 10 to 12 days off, calendar days off in a calendar year. So out of 365. So it was a tremendous amount of work. Most homes I ever sold was, it was a team, 211 in, I want to say 2010. So when the market's terrible, sold 211 homes. I mean, tremendous amount of work. I remember one month we had nearly 50 closings, 50. It was insane what was taking place and burning the oil. And so, you know, I thought I was on top of the world. I was crushing it, making really good money, just doing incredible, really exciting stuff. And I had three kids, all under five. So 5, 3, and 2. And I get home one day and my wife's got the minivan all packed up. So she says she's leaving for good. And that's when my world completely crashed. Everything totally changed at that point. And so, you know, I begged and pleaded and I said, let me change some things. All these things I thought I was doing, being an agent, preparing, doing this for my family, all these things, like, you know, largely a guy, but certainly women do, but a guy tells themselves, and I'm being the breadwinner, I'm doing this for them. And ultimately that was a lie. I'm doing it for myself because they didn't care about more money, about any of those things. They just wish they had more time with me. And so, like any good agent, I was successful in convincing her to allow me time to change. And 30 days later, I sold my Remax and I completely left the industry. And that is where I had to figure out something totally different, a soul searching journey to figure out, how am I going to find a balance between what being providing, and then that largely means who I am. Largely my identity was that of an agent, not that of a father, not that of some other person, was that of an agent. And so my identity was very wrapped closely in what I did for a career. How do I balance that with what do I do and who I am, along with the contribution to make it as a father and as a husband?
Yeah, it's quite the story, quite the journey. And I know from a lot of other agents, they might not have the same identical story, but a lot of agents feel burnt out like you. They got into the industry to have control, to be their own boss, to have uncapped commission. And so they got into this industry for a whole variety of reasons and find themselves in a similar situation to you, where they have poured their identity and their time and all of their energy into their business as an agent. And that costs them in things that they can't get back. Time with their family, like you said, growing your identity as a father, as a husband, all of those things have been sacrificed to build up this other identity as an agent. And so can you talk a little bit about how you made that pivot? What was your journey from top producing agent who was burnt out and almost lost everything to someone who now you don't even list homes anymore, but you're still involved in real estate? What was that pivot like?
Yeah, well, so it took a solid year to go, all right, what do I do? And I did try a whole bunch of other things, and then none of which worked. Invested in another business, that didn't work. And so I had to come full circle to go, all right, well, I know real estate, I'm good at real estate. How do I find a balance? How do I re-enter, if you will, the industry and find a segment of the industry? You know, the thing is, the industry is enormous, enormous. Being an agent is not the only way to participate in the industry. And so how do I find a segment and where can I lend my skills to enter? And so for me, it was investing to go, all right, let me come back and start investing and go on this journey. Because for me, it was, I know if I can successfully invest, I can do work today and get paid forever. I can do work today and get paid forever. And so that was the goal, is to come back in and go, all right, how do I do that? And over a period of years, because it was a long journey, because you got to think, as an agent, I was really good at doing that business. Investing is a completely different business. They're not the same. Yes, there's some crossover. You're going to learn. I can pull 10 or 20% of things that I know. I got a baseline knowledge, but it's not the same. And so how can I... It took years to be able to understand, study, and do that. And you always learn every day. And we learn every day today to how to improve. And so over a period of time, that went through single families, right? Rental properties there, fixing and flipping. That's not an investment strategy. It's a cash strategy, just like selling a home. It's a commission strategy. And so fixing and flipping, produce cash so that money can be deployed into rental properties. And at a high level, I won't go into the whole thing if we want. I learned over a period of time that single family homes are anything but passive. They require a tremendous amount of work, time, energy, and effort. For me, it was literally a second job, like having those things. And the goal of which was do the work today, get paid forever. That does not line up in single family rental properties.
Mm-hmm. But it does line up in commercial. So before we get to that, can you talk a little bit about how did you come? That's a mindset shift to go from I do work this time and I get paid commission, because that's what, as an agent, you're habituated. And as people who have jobs, we're habituated into that kind of thinking where I get paid once for this X amount of work that I do. How did you make that mindset shift to come to the conclusion that you needed to invest once and get paid on repeat?
Yeah. The conclusion was my core challenge on a personal level was time. How do I have time with my family to pour into my family, my kids, my wife, and live in that world? And that was the answer, is that I couldn't continue to trade, for me, time for dollars. I had to find a way to trade time for continuous dollars. And so that my, you know, everybody talks about your ROI. What's my return on my investment? For me, it's what's my return on my time, the ROT, the return on time. And so I just had the conversation yesterday, actually. If we can all agree that time is money, is that fair? That means wasting it is wasting money, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was, how do I get the highest return on that? And that's what had me in that, making that mental shift to go, that's what I have to achieve.
Yep. That's great. So how does that correlate with commercial real estate?
Well, I got to a spot on the single family side where I was going, well, this is like kind of broken. Like, or maybe it just doesn't work at all on single family, standalone, one house, one place. It's going, all right, what else? And I stumbled into, I had an opportunity put in front of me on a commercial building. And I was like, well, I don't know a lot about, in this case, it was an industrial building, 16,000 square feet. I was going, I don't know a lot about this, but let me figure this out. Let me dive in and understand this. And I've got a finance degree and I can also calculate commissions. So it's not that hard to figure out some basic numbers to be able to put into this. And I was going, okay, it makes sense to move forward. For me, it's always been, if what I'm doing isn't getting me to where I want to go, I must do something new. Mm. And so that's where I was at in that environment. And so I took a leap of faith, if you will. I was going, what's my worst case scenario on this property? And what's my best case scenario? Well, the worst case was like not very much. And the best case is much higher. So I took a leap of faith, bought 16,000 square foot industrial building, still own it today. And it cash flows each and every month. It is occupied by our city's, you know, the Midwest's largest grocer, it's a bakery. They just bake goods out of this. And I think I've heard from these people like 3 times in 5 years. They do everything. I do nothing except money comes in via ACH each and every month. And it was that. I was like, that's a light bulb that just went off to go, all right, this is it. And so it was a deep dive from that point forward to going, how do we go in and say master? How do we go in and understand everything we possibly can to be able to build a business out of commercial real estate so that we get do the work, the heavy lifting once and get paid forever?
Yep, that's great. And that goes exactly into this whole series of becoming agent optional and your desire to spread this message to other agents who might find themselves in a similar situation to where you were at when you thought your whole world was crumbling down around you and you were burnt out and your family was burnt out. And so that's really why we're running this series and talking about the subject of passive investing in real estate for agents, because you don't have to, that does not have to be your reality. You can take actions that change that feeling of being burnt out, of being anxious, of not having enough time, of having your identity wrapped up in being an agent. You have other roles in your life that are far more important. Being a husband, being a wife, being a parent, being involved in your community. Those are all identities that should be fueled by the work that you do, not be detracted and pushed to the side because you're trying to feed this business that's always just going to and take more from you. You need to find something that's going to set you free so that you really truly can become agent optional. And what we mean by agent optional is simply that you can continue doing that if that's what you love and that's what you're exceptional at. Great. Keep doing it, but do it on your own terms. Don't be controlled by your business as an agent. Don't be controlled by your clients, by the phone calls, by feeling like you have to take that listing, by having to steer all of your conversations towards, well, are you thinking about selling your house? You don't have to be controlled by those things. You can control the flow of your income through investing in real estate. And that is where you get your commissions to fuel a financial vehicle that can set you free. And your income is no longer subject to things that are outside of your control, like the market or the Fed or the interest rates. You have that all under wraps through your investments. And that's when you'll become totally agent optional.
It's painful to see a 70-year-old agent out there showing a house on a Saturday afternoon when they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. When they don't want to be there. If that's what they love to do, that's what fuels their life, they should absolutely be there every Saturday. But when they don't want to be there, that's challenging. And that's what this series is about. It's about putting you in control and providing you more options so that you are agent optional. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Great. So that was really powerful and impactful to hear your story. But I want to get into this top producers or this agent optional playbook. So we've broken it down into some pretty practical steps. Step number one of your agent optional playbook is to evaluate your current financial situation. This is pretty simple. What's working and what's not working? And you need to identify what will it take on a monthly basis to have passive income from investment cover and exceed your expenses. And that's the ticket. That's when you become agent optional. And you need to know, what is your strategy to get you there? Or maybe a better question, do you have a strategy to get you to that point? If you have a solo 401k or a self-directed IRA, do you have whole life insurance? Does your spouse have a 401k or a Roth? You need to just get an understanding and a grasp of what your financial situation is, where you need to go, and what vehicle is going to take you there. And this starts with asking yourself the question, what am I worried about? What am I concerned about? What am I anxious about? You need to have an honest conversation with you if you're married, with your spouse. Maybe it's not a difficult conversation. Maybe it is a really gut check conversation. And that will help you fuel the purpose that you need to actually make a change. And for a lot of agents that we talk with, they have a variety of different concerns. They're concerned about commissions, checks falling through. A lot of people that we talk with, things have slowed down substantially this year than from where they were at a couple of years ago. And they're sick of being running around and trying to control things that are outside of their control, trying to control sellers and buyers and people's emotions and the market and interest rates, that you can't control those things. So people are concerned about those things. Agents want control over their time. They don't want to be on call 24/7. They're anxious about the fact that they don't really have a retirement plan. They've put off planning for retirement because they're too busy. And they are really only working enough to get their head above water. And they don't have time to think about 15 years from now, we'll worry about itself. And maybe I can keep showing houses when I'm 75. And finally, a lot of agents are getting just slaughtered on their taxes. And so it would be great if they could find an investment that would allow them to stop cutting such large checks to the government.
Number one expense in an individual's life in this country, taxes. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to captivate and figure out how to control the taxes and limit the amount of tax you pay. You're so much further ahead.
Yep. So that's step number one in your playbook. Evaluate your current financial situation. Number two is, don't make the number one fatal mistake we see agents who invest make. If you missed that episode, last week's episode, and to summarize that very quickly, you need to have a clear goal. It's not enough to just want to make passive income. You need to have a number in mind so you can reverse engineer that process. Number three, Neil, education. Can you talk a little bit about why we've included this in the playbook?
Yeah, when it comes to real estate and getting educated as it relates to real estate, it's about syndication. You want to know first what a syndication is. And for us, and that's what we do, is essentially it's a group of people who come together for the purpose of investing in a piece of real estate. We were recording an in-depth podcast on this subject, but at a high level, that's exactly what it is. And you want to understand what types of real estate can you invest in or should you invest in? So you want to educate yourself as it relates to that. It's going past houses, going past maybe, and that could mean apartments into industrial or offices, or medical offices, more specifically, retail. There's a whole mobile home park, self-storage. There's a whole host of things inside the real estate world that one can invest in.
Yeah. As you're driving, maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're driving, take a look around at the properties that are going past you in your window. Is there a retail center, maybe with a doctor's office, with post office, with shoe store? You can own a piece of that building. Yeah. You can own a piece of the warehouse that Amazon is distributing all of their packages out of. Just take a little bit of time as you're driving and you see all of those buildings. There's a good chance you could own a chunk of that building if you were invested in a syndication. So get educated. Number four, know your risk tolerance. Not every investment opportunity is suitable for every other investor. So see our episode, previous episode about how you can know what your risk profile is. It's also important because it will help you narrow down what kinds of properties and what kinds of operators you choose to invest with. And then number five, know your status. So I'll try to keep this at a very high level because we can get down into the weeds and into the jargon very quickly. So as an investor, you have three options. You can be accredited, sophisticated, or neither. And this matters because syndications are regulated by Big Brother, by the SEC. So there's a whole host of rules and regulations about how these investments are structured and who can invest in different opportunities. So the two common ones that we are involved with are structures under the Regulation D 506B, 506C. 506B and 506C. And this is the legal financial structure under which investors can pool their money together in this syndication and go out and purchase a property. A 506B deal is open to sophisticated and accredited investors, whereas a 506C is open only for accredited investors. So that's an easy way to remember it. That C in 506C means only accredited investors can participate in that kind of opportunity. Like I mentioned, in the eyes of the SEC, you are one of three things. You are an accredited investor, sophisticated, or neither. Especially for agents, as you're involved in the real estate space on a day-to-day basis, at a minimum, you should qualify as a sophisticated investor. This is a little bit of a fuzzy term, but it's generally meant to be that you have a certain level of knowledge and experience in understanding financial matters, in this case, specifically real estate. Essentially, you're able to assess investment risk and make an informed decision for yourself. You have enough experience and knowledge to evaluate for yourself, is this an investment that I should participate in or not? And if you are a sophisticated investor, you can only invest with a syndicator or a sponsor. Just to make it simple, that's what Neil and I do. You can only invest with us if you have a pre-existing substantive relationship. I won't go into all of the details here, but essentially that means you've talked to one of us. You know us personally. We've communicated about your financial experience, about your goals, and we aren't just strangers on the internet to you. You can pick up the phone and talk to me, and from there we can build up a relationship, and then you would be able to access the deals that we have to make available to our investors. On the other hand, you can qualify as an accredited investor. And that means you would have opportunity to invest in 506B and 506C deals. Accredited investors qualify most commonly based on certain financial thresholds. They can qualify based on other professional criteria, but for the case of agents, you will probably most likely qualify under certain financial criteria. So, two things. You can qualify based on income or net worth. Number one, on income, if as an individual for the past 2 years, you've had an income of $200,000 or more, or if you're married, $300,000 or more for the past 2 years, with reasonable expectation that you'll hit the same income level or more in this current year. Or you can qualify based on your net worth, which means you have a net worth of $1 million or more, excluding your primary residence. And that's as an individual or jointly with your spouse. So I know that was a lot, of information, but you need to know, in this fifth step, know your status. Know that either you're accredited or sophisticated. And as a sophisticated investor, you can only invest in 506B deals. And if you're accredited, you can invest in 506B or 506C deals. You're going to see this kind of language and this kind of jargon on different opportunities as you start exploring in this space. And no, that's because these investments are regulated by the SEC. And so for you to invest in different kinds of deals, you have to be able to know, am I an accredited investor or am I sophisticated?
Number six on our list is this: find one syndicator you trust. Syndications are all over the place. They're in every state. They're in other countries too. Here's some insider language that you'll see: capital raiser, a syndicator, a general partner. All these terms are mean that you're headed down the right path. And almost all those terms mean that the same exact thing: capital raiser, syndicator, or general partner. They're all synonymous. Eventually, you get to the point where you're invested in multiple deals and likely with multiple syndicators. This is a good strategy for diversifying your risk into multiple properties, across multiple operators, and across multiple geographic areas. But don't head that down that path to start. Start with one. This can be challenging enough. Find one, build a relationship with somebody you can trust.
Yep, that's great. And so number seven here in your playbook, step seven, is schedule a call. Talk to a real human being. Talk to someone from an investment team, and they should ask you questions about your financial background. They should ask you questions about your goals. They should ask you questions about your experience. It's really building a relationship. And so it's very important for you to talk to a real person, especially particularly if you're not accredited and you're sophisticated. You need to establish a genuine relationship with that team before you can invest with them safely. And the great thing, I think that's a huge positive. As an agent, you build relationships with people all of the time. And so this would be a very natural step for you, is to go out and build relationships with syndicators, schedule a call, talk to someone from their team, and you can email them, you can get your questions answered. And on our team, that's me. So if you want to talk to me, go to legacyimpactinvestors.com and we can connect there. We can schedule a call and you can talk to me. We'll chat over Zoom or over phone about your goals, about what kinds of questions you have. And that will be the first step in building a relationship with our team. So step seven is schedule a call with a real person.
You know, step eight is this: be ready to take action. Right, Eva? There's a lot of things that we haven't covered in this episode, like how to evaluate a deal or how to evaluate a market or how to read a PPM, a private placement memorandum, or how to evaluate a syndicator. But this whole purpose, and my last point, is so that you're ready. Be sure to be ready to take actions. We see a lot of investors miss out on opportunities that would have helped them. It ultimately would have helped them achieve their goals because they weren't motivated enough to change their circumstances. They didn't have clear goals to even achieve that. And sometimes it's because they've got money tied up in accounts, retirement accounts, whatever it is, that things just take too long. Because when an opportunity comes out, meaning an opportunity to invest in a particular deal comes out, gets presented to you, it's getting presented to multiple people at the same time, and there's only so much money that a sponsor needs to do a deal.
Yep, that's great. As an agent, you help your clients make their dreams come true every single day. You turn people's dreams into their reality. You help people solve problems. You're a strategist. Sometimes you're a counselor and a therapist. You spend a lot of time herding people to the closing table. When I was a transaction coordinator, I called that herding cats. You just spend a lot of time getting people to do the things that they need to do in order to turn their dream into a reality. You help people make decisions and come to outcomes that will be most beneficial for their family and their financial future. You need to do the same thing for yourself. And this starts with being ready. You place a high value on integrity and serving your clients, but you probably don't apply that same standard to yourself. You allow yourself to get burnt out, run down, you push off time with your family, push off doing other activities, going on vacation so that you can help other people. We're not saying that you need to stop being an agent. We are just saying that you need to take control over your time, over your future. And that for us means becoming agent optional by setting yourself financially free through passive investments so that you don't have to be anxious about the future. You can have control over your schedule. You have freedom. It all starts with you knowing that you have options. That's where it starts. You know you have options, and then you can run through this agent optional playbook. So I'm just going to recap the 8 steps that we've covered here today. Number 1 is you need to understand your financial situation. Where are you at and where do you need to go? Set that passive income goal and figure out the vehicle that's going to get you there. Get educated. Know what kinds of options you have, what you can invest in. Know your risk tolerance. Know your status as an investor. Find one syndicator that you trust, schedule a call, and then be ready to take massive action.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.